Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro, and on the show this week, you've got Mark Cowell, Ian Bawa, and myself giving you a real talk. What do we got? We got roles that were originally cast to this actor, but were then given to that actor. We go over some of TV and cinema's most known castings and characters and find out what would have happened if this person played that role instead. Best marketing campaigns for a movie. What sucked you in? What did you think was clever? What upcycled the attitude of the film into its marketing campaign? And then who would you rather? Would you rather fight alongside the Avengers or anybody, any family in the Game of Thrones? What would you rather do? Would you rather go back to the age of dragons and broadswords and incest, sorry, or Avengers, superhero costumes, superpowers? Who would you rather fight alongside with? So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. Check out Mark's comic book stuff, ladies and gentlemen. String Bean Comics on Instagram under String Bean Comics. It's a comic collective in Winnipeg. Him and a bunch of other guys collect, purchased, resell, gloat over how many amazing comic books they have. If you're interested in comic books, Mark is the guy in the show to talk to. Get at him at String Bean Comics or direct message, DMs. Find him in his DMs. What else do I have for you? No new updates, no new live events. Those are coming. Those are being worked on. We're doing a trivia thing somewhere in the city I can tell you a little bit about. That's about as much as I can tell you because that's all we've got so far is a trivia night in Winnipeg. And then another live debate coming in the next few months as well, too. The only way you can stay in the know with the Real Debaters podcast is by subscribing to our social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, whatever you prefer, at Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and the Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook. That's where we advertise. That's where we showcase. That's where you can find funny clips. Basically, the Debaterverse, and then everything that everybody does on the show. So that's about it. I got nothing else for you. Here's 188. 188. Wow. Here's 188 with me, Mark, and Ian. I will cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the Charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order, I show you
ladies
out
and
of
gentlemen,
order.
Welcome. Well, it's fuck off.
Sorry, I did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to the show. Welcome to That Place That Asks That Lovely Question. We're actually not going to use that phrase anymore because I used ChatGPT this week to find a bunch of new phrases for the show. I'll show them to you guys after. Fuck, I wish I could have come up with some of this shit. So welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your fabled hosts, Michael Petro. To my right is...
I'm Ian Bawa.
And off in the corner...
Mark Cowell, soon to be replaced by ChatGPT, apparently.
No, there's no reason to replace you guys with an AI. Come on. I can't do this.
Hello, Michael.
You're part of the heavy lifting.
We are real debaters.
I lift heavy things when you want me to.
That's the... Okay, listener, if you haven't heard about ChatGPT... It was released December 15th, and basically what it is you type something you want it to do for you, and it gives it back to you in some form as long as it understands it, mostly for coding, right, Mark? Like, I think that's the real reason. Like, write me a code.
Oh, it'll write a whatever a program in C++ that blah blah blah, and it'll it basically writes executable code and works, and
it's nuts, and it's just taking in our language and churning this stuff out. So I this last week have been like, write a podcast about this, and then I got an email from the podcast community, which is not like the podcast community but like the name of the website, and they're like, how to use ChatGPT in podcasting. So I might give my brain a rest and do 52 episodes in ChatGPT this year, and then we'll just fill in the blank. No, that's not how you do it. That's not how you be creative. Anyways, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This week, we got a real talk for you. First one of the year. What's on the list for you today? We got actors who auditioned for a certain role but got a different one. Best marketing campaign for a film or TV. Doesn't matter. If there was a TV, I know I only put film in the list, but... and then we're going to do a would you rather between the Avengers and any murderous family from Game of Thrones, really. Take your pick.
Pick a murderous family?
Pick a murderous family. You got lots to choose from. So that's what's on the show. But before we get into that, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna talk about what we've been watching. And there's been a Christmas break in between all of this. There's been some time off. Mark, give it to him. What have you been watching?
This is not going to be super stellar because I haven't. Here's a. So it's not what
way to
I
lead it.
Well, you know what? Christmas break was a little busy for me. I didn't watch a ton. I didn't go searching new stuff. Let's just say that.
Sure, sure.
It's not what I'm watching. It's how I'm watching it because I went out and got a new home theater set.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So when you get a new home theater set up, you go back and you want to watch all those movies that you watched in inferior quality. So the first thing I do is, you know, I flip on anything that's got like, I throw on like Infinity War and Endgame in 4K Dolby Atmos, like totally immersive. So I want to watch all that stuff. Like, you don't watch a romantic comedy in Dolby Atmos.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall isn't at the top of that
no.
list.
No.
Speed Racer.
So you get into like anything Speed that's Racer. Got action and I'm looking through and I'm like, it's not in 4K. I'm not going to watch it. Like, you know, you're being fussy on
yeah.
all the shows.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Because you can be Mr. New TV.
I was just kind of hammering through some stuff and demoing the system a little bit. And
what does that set you back for a home? Because just because I'm shopping around, right, can I ask?
I went for like one of the better, like not the, I'm an asshole and I'm going to buy the fanciest TV that comes out, but yeah. like one of the higher end Samsung TVs in yeah. a 65
okay.
inch.
Yeah. Give us the specs. Yeah. QLED.
And yeah, it's Neo QLED.
Okay.
It's, I mean, TVs are TV. Like it's kind of what it looks like. It's between the new OLED and the new QLED.
Okay.
The OLED had really black blacks because OLED shuts those pixels off as opposed to trying to replicate black
oh.
with a light. But it, along with the black blacks and the contrast, you do notice that things are a little bit more muted. So sort of like the movie settings that you get on some TVs.
Right.
As opposed to like dynamic and vibrant. We watch a fair amount of sports and hockey and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we wanted something that had those the ability to do the really bright, vibrant stuff. So we went with that. And then just like a mid-range Dolby Atmos soundbar, like a 5.1 channel.
Nice.
And do you think a soundbar is worth it in the end?
I
don't have one, but I feel the need I should have one.
100%.
Yeah, you need a
like,
soundbar.
Like, I would, if you went out and took the TV that you have and just added a soundbar,
yeah.
would be a
Game
world
changer.
Of difference. Like,
do
it's
need,
so immersive.
Do I need two remotes?
No.
Okay.
It all syncs together as long as you
just,
stay
hey,
in your brand.
Hey. I'm not a guy that goes to Best Buy and asks questions. I just pick what I want.
You don't like a cache of remotes on the table?
It's funny that you say that because it is a nice feeling now that I can pick up my cable remote. Yes, I'm one of those few people that actually still has cable.
Yeah.
But I can like turn on my TV. It's on the cable box. I can adjust the volume with it.
Yeah.
One remote.
Right.
Unless I want to like switch over to my streaming box and
yeah.
then I have to use a different remote for that. But I mean, it's only two remotes.
Right.
Sure.
Do you guys remember, like you guys are slightly older than me, but like we had a VCR that had a wired remote.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wired?
Yeah. Was it a top loading one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are awesome.
Yeah, they're dope. But yeah, we had this like long wire and you'd like be changing the channels with this like wired remote.
I remember, well, I mean, this obviously would predate the remote, but it's the box where you just like push like After Dark, the Scorsese film.
Yes.
The weird New York nightlife film, After Dark.
I've never seen it, actually.
Watch it sometime. But it's this long box with, like, every channel is a button and, like, it's raised buttons.
Oh, really? Oh, I have no idea what you're talking
about. That I remember. I don't remember the wire
Crazy.
Remote, though.
Yeah, so
I do know what you're talking about.
I guess that rather than what I watched is, I mean, we've had shows on, like, what are you watching it on?
Yeah.
And I found now that I've got a much more immersive experience with like a big subwoofer and you turn it on, you're like, holy shit, like I'm hearing stuff I'd never heard.
Wow.
I can actually hear like the crisp voices, but I'm also hearing like, you know, the music that's quietly playing in the background, but I'm also hearing like the car that started next door and I'm
right.
like, oh, like I really am getting excited about going and watching movies again. Like, you know, so it's kind of I haven't been consuming on something that's been quite as drawing me in.
Yeah.
And so going and getting the medium is actually, you know, propelling me to want to go out and search for. And like literally you start off with action movies and stuff, but everything is great. The conversation, like you're not missing the subtleties of things, which I think I was missing before.
Right.
In sound separation, that's what I really notice is there's certain little things that I guess I was just kind of blind to. And when you actually take the time to turn up the volume and focus on the TV and don't do anything else, don't pick up your phone, don't, you know, and just consume
yep.
is I'm getting excited for movies again a little bit, where maybe I've just been kind of cruising along. So that's a good thing.
Make movies great again at the Cowell Residence.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. And at the same time, when you get excited for watching movies at home, you get excited for going to the theater. And like, it's all that stuff, right?
Did you say how much you spent? Because the only reason I asked is because I went to Costco today. And I was looking at, I want a 55-inch because it matches my like current size. And
good size.
Yeah, it's a fair size. I agree. You know, size
nice and big.
Size doesn't matter. But the one I was looking at was like 58-inch. It was a Samsung. I'm a big Samsung guy, and it was about $700 at Costco. And I was like, that seems too cheap.
So that's like your good entry level stuff,
right?
I mean, there's nothing. My parents just bought one like for a 65-inch or something for $700.
Oh wow!
And it's great.
Yeah.
But then there's that next step that I'm like, oh, yeah, I do notice that. So I paid, I think this one was like $1,500.
Mr. Moneybag over here.
But I mean, considering I paid over $2,000 for my fancy TV 10 years ago or whatever. So the actual that the $1,500 mark really hasn't changed.
Right.
But the quality you're getting for the $1,500 is substantially better.
Changed, yeah.
And then I think it was like $400 for the sound bar and subwoofer. And I would highly recommend. You don't have to get the biggest, fanciest fucking thing. But this thing has been awesome. It's huge improvement over my last one. So, yeah, for like under $2,000-ish.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's really good because some TVs are $2,800, $3,200, and you get into the 70s and the 65s.
Well,
and
like, it's funny because I have my, like, 50-inch whatever, 55-inch now. I'm like, what do I do with it after? Like, sell it? Do people still buy TVs? I'm like, it feels like... Like, I sell this thing for $100 at best.
Yeah. And I didn't have 4K. So, like, I had 4K channels streaming.
Right.
I had 4K streaming services. I had that I've never really been appreciating because I haven't got the most out of it. Like,
right.
I'm watching White Lotus. And just, like, that alone now in the new TV with the new sound, I'm like, ooh, it's so much more immersive, even that.
I feel like I'm in Italy.
So, yeah, even stuff that's sort of mundane is much more interesting.
That's awesome. Can we come over and watch a movie?
100%.
Yeah. I'm glad you have new toys to enjoy new experiences.
The medium is the message.
Oh, you philosophical motherfucker, you.
Holy shit.
All right. I'll go next because I'll make it quick and then we'll get to you because
I know
you've got a fucking laundry list. I've seen your favorite top tens. Okay, so let's go TV first here. Friend of the Family's fucking me up. It's just fucking wrecking me, okay? It's on Showcase. It's got Anna Paquin. It's got Colin Hanks.
Yep.
So the second coming of Tom. And the asshole from season one, the husband from season one of White Lotus. His name eludes me, but he plays the guy who's...
Steve Zahn?
No, not Steve Zahn. The husband to Didari.
The newlyweds?
The newlyweds in the first season, yes.
Oh, that guy's a dick.
Even bigger dick in this. True story, okay? Happened to a Mormon family. The story is... A next-door neighbor kidnapped their daughter, two very close Mormon families, ran away with her for like 40 days, made a threat that if you let me marry her, I'll come back home, which you find out later is part of the plot. I don't know how they did that. But it's the story of a girl who was kidnapped, convinced she was an alien species, sent to the planet, raised, and is now being called upon to save the planet by hooking up with the male companion. Guess who the male companion is? This asshole, this pedophile, this guy from White Lotus. His character, he's a pedophile, he's going crazy, he's in aliens and conspiracy theories. He drugs her, kidnaps her, gaslights her reality into that she's an alien, and Xurtha and Zed, or whoever the fuck, are like communicating. Sets up a van with speakers in it that are like calling Earth. Started watching this the other night. Shauna said to me, she said, there's a scene where Colin Hanks jerks off a guy. I said, sign me up. I want to watch it. I don't even know what's going to happen, but I just want to see that scene.
It's on Showtime?
It's on Showcase.
Showcase.
So if you have Stack TV through Prime, watch the fuck out of this. It's a mini series, and each episode, you're just like, there's no way this is happening. There's no way this is true. But the girl, Jan, starts off the whole episode with, you're going to have a hard time understanding this, but it happened. And it can happen to anybody.
This sounds insane, but I love it.
It is insane. And, like, they do mention, they're like, some stuff has been
altered
for cinematic effect.
Right.
And in no way, shape, or form does this mean anything towards the actual people that this might be based on.
Right.
So there are scenes where she prays to God to save her and let her save her species and carry on her mission. Like,
And she's 9 when this happens. Oh, wow. And it's the fallout of everything. And then it jumps timelines. It goes back to when they first met this family that they hook up with. And then now, and then it's Nick Anticosta, the guy who wrote Channel Zero. That's who wrote and produced this.
I met him. Yeah. Right? When he was here,
yeah. This is his baby, and it's 10 episodes. It's a miniseries. Shauna started watching it. She's like, I have to stop. You need to see this. And we chewed through 4 episodes last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is probably, I'll tell you now, like, based on that, I will watch this. Like,
please do.
I will be on my list of things to watch. I'm excited.
You will watch, and it's
I'm very picky these days, so.
I'm a huge fan of these religious true crime capers, like where religion plays a factor.
Same. I haven't finished Under the Banner of Heaven.
Oh, dude, that one too.
Yeah, because that one also, like, I wanted to read the book first, and I watched the first episode. I was like, maybe I should save this one, but I know that's what it's about. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Under Banner Heaven was one of my
tops.
What's
another one that's like...
Well, okay, if you want to get into documentaries, like
I know
Stay Sweet Too Sweet is the Warren Jeffs documentary on LDS and FLDS and plural
marriage.
What's
the one with the Krishnas and...
That's what I was trying to... On Netflix.
Oh,
yeah.
Were they moving to like some buttfuck
yeah,
south?
Something country.
Wild country?
Wild country.
Yeah. Wild country.
So good.
Yeah, really good.
There's a follow-up to the woman from it.
No.
She has her own documentary.
She's like the number two or whatever.
Yeah.
She's poisoning the town.
Yeah.
If the crazy thing about that one, and it's going to be slightly spoilers, but like we've all seen it, right?
Yeah.
Like it kind of just ends very anticlimactic. Like it's just like they catch the guy. And I remember talking to my dad about the show, being like, do you remember this happened? It sounded like a pretty big deal. And he's like, yeah, I do, but I don't remember what happened like afterwards. And I'm like, because it was so like we caught the guy and it kind of just faded for a while.
Was it Bhagwan?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But his religion is still there. Like I was Googling, like the website's still
there.
And
Hare Krishnas, I remember when I was a kid, like
big deal.
That was a thing. Like people talked about their orange garbs and and they just kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, from street corners or wherever they were replaced by other religions.
Replaced by post
boxes. Like they literally like politically,
they've gone the way of the payphone.
I turned into payphones.
Oh shit!
We are now Uber drivers.
Oh my god!
I didn't mean it that way. I just meant they evolved.
That's my TV pick. Check it out if you. Like I said, when religion comes up, I'm just like, how dumb are these fuckers?
Yeah.
And these people are so naive.
Yeah.
It's so
you
sad.
Know, possibly the stupidest things to ever happen to mankind have been done in the name of some sort of religion.
Yeah.
True words never spoken, my friend.
Very true.
Never. Film? The Menu. Got to The Menu.
Oh, and I haven't yet.
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it. It's great.
Absolutely
it's
loved
very
it.
Fun.
It's a concept. It's a commentary on the hospitality industry. And it's from the chef's perspective, Mark. It's so good.
I've seen
like some clips and I've seen a fair amount.
And the way it turns out in the end is like it's in the Knives Out vein, so it's like a murder mystery at a restaurant.
It's just fucking fun.
Yeah,
it's so fun. It flows by. Like, did it make you hungry? Because it made me so fucking hungry.
No, it made me anxious and want to smoke.
Okay, because I love movies like this that are like food based thrillers. Like The Platform's another good one.
Yeah,
food based thrillers.
It's a subgenre, baby.
That's a genre I don't remember at the Blockbuster.
It's a subgenre. Check my
you have to get into the back room for that.
I will have to like make that like into a category and start thinking of titles. Like, but that's definitely those two are up there.
When food comes to movies, I get it. But I loved it.
Eating Raoul from the 1980s.
Oh, is that real?
Yeah. Wow. It's about somebody that basically the story of it turns into eating people.
Right.
Like interesting.
There's a big eating people portion, but it's sort of
like
Soylent Green.
Soylent Green. I was thinking Soylent Green. I'm like food-based thrillers is a big fucking thing, man.
What are we eating, everybody?
Or Raw?
Raw? Yeah.
Raw is a good one.
How about Fresh?
Fresh,
right?
Very, very big.
Very huge. I watched half of it. I need to complete it.
I love this list.
Food-based thrillers.
I fucking love it. I'm eating this thing up. It's great.
Delicious.
It's so good.
Anna Taylor. Amazing.
Well, realistically, wasn't Hannibal, like the entire series was basically a food-based suspense thriller? Like the dishes that he prepared were...
Well, the show or the movie?
Yeah, the show.
Yeah.
Right?
I like the show. I was going to say the movie too. Like the ending scene is like him having that glorious dinner with, you know.
Well, and like I've never seen, it was Brian Fuller who did that, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I've never seen someone make chopping off someone's limb look so delectable, right? Like the meal that Lecter ended up.
Oh, yeah.
Because he would always bring it out to the table
yeah.
and it would
yeah,
be.
So, yeah, yeah.
Like he serves the drunken songbirds that you're not supposed to eat, right? They dip them in like
oh,
some
yes,
liqueur.
The Ornerling Buntings.
That's it, right? Or bird's nest soup.
Drowned like, in Armagnac yes. and then served whole.
I'm yeah. impressed you guys remember this.
But like bones and all, man. Bones and
bones
all.
And all.
Bones
Actually,
and all.
Oh,
there's,
and all.
Oh my God, there's another
That's
one.
Another food. We're falling into cannibalism, which
we
is funny.
We really are.
Eh, it kinda,
but
it's
kind of food-based, yeah, you know.
I mean, potato, potato.
And, like, delicious.
Yeah. I was going to say there was that documentary called, what is it, called Thought Crimes?
I heard something else.
It yeah. was, like, the New York City cop that was, like, on a cannibal message board and people that wanted to eat people and people that wanted to get eaten.
Mm.
And it was, but they were, like, living out kind of cosplaying online, but then he was charged with the things that he said in this online message board. And the big thing is, like, is that a crime or is
right.
it just play?
Or is
right.
that a movie?
Like, you know, is it imagination because he never carried it out? So it's kind of, it's very thought-provoking in that sense that, especially with how much we do online now.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just pretending,
yeah.
you know.
When does your persona become
yes.
criminal?
Real. When does conspiracy, like play turn into conspiracy to
yeah.
commit a crime?
Agreed.
Is Armie Hammer a moderator in this chat room?
Oh, God.
I watched a bit of that doc at one point.
So did I. I
oh,
sped
we talked
through
about
yeah,
this.
We did.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Man, that guy. And like his whoa. Grandfather died, so I think the money's all
it's,
fucked up now.
Yeah,
I don't
insane,
know. Yeah,
yeah,
he's whatever. So the menu is great. I give.
How many burgers?
No, I'm not going to eat burgers. Oh,
seen
how
that
delicious cheese. You're right.
I saw that scene.
Okay.
I don't know in context, but I can kind of tell.
When
yeah,
she's
yeah.
like, make me a cheeseburger, and he's like, I will make you the dirty pork kind that your parents used to buy for you. I was like, make that fucking cheeseburger now.
It was a good looking cheeseburger,
good
too.
And when she picks it up and presses, there's a shot of the grease. Like, they don't. They make you well aware
well,
that
tell
this
you,
is a dirty burg.
Can I sidetrack very
yeah,
slightly?
Yeah.
But I when they did like the premiere of the movie, they served burgers beforehand.
Oh.
And so I will also say, like, I've been
getting into marketing campaigns there, bud.
I am. And I was gonna say, like, a few times when I've like been to film festivals for movies, they've done similar things. So The Platform, which is about you guys have seen The Platform?
No.
Argentinian film. Kind of a horror thriller, food-based film. it's a prison that has a platform in it.
Oh, yes.
And it drops down
yeah, yeah,
at
yeah.
each level. Anyway, so they start with a lot of food, and by the bottom, there's the scraps. So they served, it was an outdoor screening, and they had this really, like, six-course meal, and the chef played, like, so, like, if there was a meal of chicken in the scene, a chicken
yeah.
came out and served, and you
oh,
ate that while we
synced
watched
with
it.
The,
synced
the movie?
With it and paired with, like, a delicious drink.
Oh, that's
And then the other time, there's a Morgan Spurlock documentary, Rats, and he made us, before the movie, they gave us, I forgot what food specifically, but in the doc, it's so disgusting. They talk about, like food, people eating rats and stuff, and you go like, oh, no, what did I just eat? Like,
yeah, exactly.
They fuck with you a little bit. So, anyways, I love, like, this idea, you know?
Oh, yeah, it plays, you know what? It's out of bounds, and it's exactly what everybody's bitching about. So give me some creativity in Hollywood. Okay, here we go. Here's
food.
A creative. It's food. It's fucking around. It's weird. You're playing guessing games with every character. It looks beautiful. They even make jokes about, like, Chef's Table on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
how
yeah,
it, there's
yeah.
canon from real-world chefs and stuff. And when they show his meals throughout the course, mm-hmm. they show them, like, Chef's Table, where there's, like, the little writing. Like, the scroll
oh, yeah.
comes across with the graphic. And
it's
then
very,
it gives you
it's
the...
It's playing with Chef's Table.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, 8 out of 10 cheeseburgers for the menu and 8 out of 10 awkward road trips to finding out where aliens come from for Friend of a Family.
Oh, there
man,
you
I'm
go.
Excited for that one.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to see it. All right, Ian, close this out here because we got some other stuff we got to get
should
to.
Should I just read my top 10 list? Is that how... Like,
yeah, sure. Do whatever
yeah,
you
is
want.
That,
yeah.
Is that like... I feel like... I'll say like I watched...
I like Kevin Smith did this on Fat Man Beyond where he just let someone else read their top 10 list. I was like, do it. It's fucking awesome.
Well, like I should say like I have a... two friends of mine, and we've started like watching movies once a week, but it's a lot of like chick flick movies I've never seen. So I watched recently When Harry Met Sally,
yep.
as well as Sleepless in Seattle, which are two movies I've never
Sleepless
seen.
Sleepless in Shit Seattle.
In Shitty Seattle.
Shitting in Seattle with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Kind of classics, though, right?
Kind of classics. Yeah. So that's been fun, like just revisiting these classics I've never seen.
Sleepless in Seattle and, sorry?
When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally.
And
wow.
When Harry Met Sally is great. So it's
like an orgasm scene, man.
It's very
classic
good.
Classic fucking cinema.
I don't think Sleepless in Seattle is as good, but
you've got males better than Sleepless in Seattle.
I will.
I'm practically
that's our next
thing.
One on the list. We're going through some.
That was the introduction to the technical age. Yeah.
We're doing Nora.
Those
Ephron.
Email shots and you've got mail.
Oh
my
hilarious.
God!
No, we're doing Nora Ephron like pretty hard at this point. But otherwise, like I watched last night Empire of Light, which is the Sam Mendes new
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, about a movie theater.
About a
Looks
movie
so
theater.
Beautiful.
Olivia Colman and King's Speech. What's his name?
Toby?
No, the main guy in King's Speech.
Oh, Colin Firth?
Yes.
Colin Firth.
Is that who I'm thinking of? Yeah, anyways.
Not Farrell, not Firth.
I know, I'm
Fifth.
Like my brain.
We always make
shut
that joke.
There.
It's the Colin Fifth.
Anyways, very good. Slow drama. I liked it. It's not doing well. People aren't liking it. Roger Deakins shot it. It's beautiful.
Why doesn't nobody like it? Roger Deakins is the cinema fucking
dog. The problem is, and we'll get to it because of my list, but like, there's a lot of movies about movies this year with Fablemans, with Babylon, and this one. And this one's a very slow burn, like extremely slow. It's my type of movie, but I can see people like being like, this was boring as fuck and I fell asleep. I liked it. I think it's lovely. It's very beautiful. I think I almost like it better than Fablemans. Fablemans never hit for me. So, anyways.
Steven Spielberg's somewhat semi-biopic about his
yes.
early childhood.
I'll just go through my list, my top 10 list of 2022. 10, RRR. great. Netflix.
Is that
fun.
What you said?
Indian. Fucking just, it's wild. It's like nothing you've ever seen in 3 hours. And there's an intermission if you need a break. Top Gun Maverick, obvious, fantastic, amazing. The Northman, bloody brilliant, so much violence.
Watch that on your sound system.
Yeah,
oh
I haven't
my
seen
God.
It. It's definitely
it's
up there.
It's so good. It's on Crave right now. Nope, Jordan Peele. I missed all the trailers somehow, and so that movie was a full
oh, that
surprise.
Must that slapped, I guess,
that
for you.
That was like,
hard.
I did not know what this was about. Barbarian, also a movie that fucking was like, I did not know what this was about. That's number six.
I get a hard-on for Justin Long getting comeuppance in movies. Oh, whenever man. He gets
one
fucked
of,
around, I'm like, I love
one
it.
One of the best cut sequences in that movie when Justin Long comes in. Number five, Bones and All. Michael and I saw together. I just loved it. It was beautiful. Like
we looked at each other watching people eating each other, and we were like, what the fuck is
going on? I loved like walking out of the parking lot. Some guy was like, we were talking, and some guy overheard us. He's like, did you guys see the cannibal movie? And we're like, yeah. He's like, that was fucked. Like, that was literally like as we were walking to the car.
Straight up.
Number four, Babylon, which I've seen twice in theaters.
You've seen 6 hours of Babylon?
I loved it.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. Me and Jimmy are going to go see it next week.
I have issues, but, like, overall, it's just wild. Like, the second time I watched it kind of stoned, and I was like, does this still hold up? And I'm like, I love this movie, man. I've been listening to the soundtrack a lot. Three, Triangle of Sadness. Funny, fucking weird,
it's that
hilarious.
English movie, right?
Yes, it's Swedish.
Okay.
It's by the guy who did Force Majeure. I can't remember his name, The Square. Anyways, Triangle of Sadness, very fun. Two, Banshee of Inisherin. I rewatched it again. So good.
Why don't you want to be my friend?
It's so funny. It's so good.
Did you see him, Bruges,
it's
Mark?
So sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
same director,
guy,
same cast.
Martin McDowell.
Yeah.
And number one, Tar. And it's here's the thing. My list, Tar is Cate Blanchett. It's slow drama. And I think it's just like movies. My top 10 list is movies I kept thinking about after. Like I kept thinking about Top Gun. I kept thinking about RRR. And Tar was one I was like,
what is Tar about?
It's about this. Conductor, musical conductor, very famous, well-to-do, like one of the top in the world, and essentially she, some secrets come out about her, and it's her trying to like manage and juggle it all, and it's just so well-crafted, and it's such a, it is a very slow burn, but it, like it's one of those ones you have to just sit and commit to it, and you go, what the fuck, and it just, for me, it stayed with me for a very long time, and it was one of those ones I kept like thinking about and dissecting in my head when I was bored. And was like, I need to watch that again because there's something like sticking there that was really odd. And yeah, I don't know. So that's
Scorsese said it lifted the dark cloud over cinema and gave him hope for the future.
Tar?
Yeah, fuck wow. Scorsese.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know if I trust the dude anymore. Though I watched.
He hates on Marvel, so fuck Scorsese.
I watched King of Comedy for the first time.
He hates on everything.
He does.
I watched King
Old
of Comedy.
Old men do that.
It's great, man. What? I watched King of Comedy for the first time.
Oh,
like,
really?
This week. I've never seen it before. I fucking love it.
How much Joker's in it?
Oh, I know. It makes me fucking, like, not that I ever really loved a Joker, but I didn't hate Joker. But it definitely disvalued it. Yeah, I get it.
Like, I love Joker's play and the topic about mental health and society, but I fucking hated the movie.
No, I get it. Like, it never really, like, it was never anything special.
You didn't?
No.
Interesting.
Did you love it, or were you okay with it?
You know what? I was, like, it was kind of, like, disturbing. It stuck with me, but I liked it.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
It made me think, because it makes you, like, spiral off of how much... What I liked about it is it made me question how much of the movie was actual real and how much was his perception.
Right.
And I love movies that allow us to see the world through the eyes of one of the people in the show. Like, Knives Out did that.
So good.
Right? Yeah. It gives us, you're watching the movie, but that's not necessarily the truth. It's only one person's perspective.
Yep.
And I love that. And they did that, and you go back, you're like, there was nobody, they weren't out wearing fucking Joker masks at the end, and they're not... You know, rioting. This is just his fucking mind. This is his descent into madness.
I don't, like, again, I don't hate that movie. I actually think it's super enjoyable for the most part. But, like, I get the problems people have with it. I am okay with it. It's not my movie, personally.
I'm going to say that my mind has been changed, and hate is a strong word. So I will retract hate and say that for the things that I expect from it was not the take I wanted, but it is a great take. I'll rephrase that. I'm always I like Heath Ledger's Joker. I like the societal broken madman, not the descent to. I like the result of. And I think that's my, like, Mark Hamill's Joker in the cartoons, and Heath Ledger's Joker, and even Nicholson's Joker. This Joker, I just...
But
how about Barry whatever Joker?
Oh, Barry Keoghan's Joker. I forgot.
Now, I'll ask you the question.
Sure.
If it wasn't the Joker, and it was a story of a children's entertainer... And his descent into madness.
Would it make a difference?
That you weren't going and expecting it to be linked to the Batman iconography.
I know personally, I still think the same way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because some people went in with expecting something and didn't get it.
You're looking at it. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying is that if you surprised me at the
Speaking of Jokers.
Yeah. Do you want to move that? Because it keeps falling on your head.
I didn't realize it was above me.
It's slow descent, like, of Joker onto Ian's.
There's like a live cutout of Jack Nicholson Joker above me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
eventually,
I'm fine.
His head would have.
I just didn't realize
his head would have flapped down right in front of your view. Here,
I just didn't know what was happening. I was like, "What the fuck's hitting me?"
So, explain to me this, Ian.
Yeah.
What is it about Top Gun Maverick that was able to bring so many people together in agreement that it's a good movie?
Good question.
Because everybody who likes different movies has all said they love it.
I think it's just sincere and pretty pure for what it's trying to do. It is nostalgic to what movies were like in the 90s when you watch Die Hard and certain things.
Yeah.
And it's not trying to recreate that. It just is that. And I think that's what it hits. And it helps that Tom Cruise is in it. It helps that Tom Cruise isn't trying to be young Tom Cruise. He is playing a guy that is out of his league because he's old now, you know? And it does come full circle that he becomes the hero, but with stakes involved, you know? Like, there's reason. He earns it. And I think it just hits very well because of it. Like, the action scenes are very good. It's the same people who do Mission Impossible. Like, not same director, but, like, he's involved in some respects. But, like, it just fucking works, whatever this is. And it's just pure fun. I think there's a lot of timing to it, too. It came out the right time.
They held it for a year.
They held it for theater. Yeah. They did the smartest play. I'm so happy it saved theaters in a lot of ways, you know?
It really... Mark hates that Tom Cruise saved the theaters, though.
Do you know how many people... How many people that was the first movie that they'd seen in like 3 years?
Great. Word of mouth, baby.
So it definitely did that. Well, you know, it's getting enough good reviews now that I should probably watch it.
You haven't seen it.
It's fucking Tom Cruise. You like, on principle, I don't go watch it.
You have a great TV. So no. Hey,
now
fine.
You have no excuse.
It's just like, it's definitely worthwhile to see in theaters, but the fact you have a good
principle.
TV.
Top Gun is one of the movies that Tom Cruise was in that I liked.
Yeah.
But I just...
I will say I do like Tom
Don't
Cruise.
Tell me you've lost that love and feeling for him.
I rewatch like...
I like Goose.
I rewatch Eyes Wide Shut recently, and I'm like, I fucking love Tom
You'll
Cruise.
Love Rooster if you love Goose.
Okay. Really quickly, I'll just say like that my like weird
Really quickly? I thought that was really quickly.
Fine. Least favorite movie, Morbius, The Invitation, The Bubble, most disappointing, The Whale, most surprising, Avatar, Way of Water. Boom, done.
Avatar, Way of Water, I still have yet to see. I'm going to go see it with him.
Yep.
We're going to go see it. And
let me know.
I
heard that Cameron's just prepping us for the next two.
He's made it official now.
Is this an appetizer?
He says he's just introducing us to the characters, and we're going to meet the antagonists, like the fire people, in the next movie.
This is the start of the trilogy, and it has been now official that he is going to finish the trilogy fully.
Yeah, because he shot 2 and 3,
yes,
and
but
4. And
no, 2 and 3 is done.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, like the next one's done.
Yeah.
4 and 5 is optional right now. But he will make at least 4 and 5 or 4 at this point because this made a shit ton of money.
$2 billion already. Yeah. Fastest record.
It surpassed
billion.
Top Gun.
And I didn't think it was going to.
Neither did I, actually.
I think it also has to do with money ticket sales with the having to pay for 3D high frame rates, et cetera, et cetera. I think it makes more money in that sense.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know this, and I've tried to find it, but how much, is it? Someone said that 50%. Goes to the theater when they're playing it.
There is a percentage. I don't remember what it is.
50, if it's 50, that seems
fucking
high.
I think a lot of this
high.
Is in Box Office Mojo. You can find it on the website.
Okay.
I think it's...
All right. Yeah. Of all the sites, that's the one I didn't look at. That's an awesome list.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel very proud. It's not hard. I had a very long list of 50 movies.
Yeah, no, that's a good... And you've got a little bit of everything in it. Yeah. You're not just genre pick. You're genre picking specifically. I like it.
Again, movies that made me think. That's how
I like that.
Okay, let's ignore one of these two because one's way more important than the other. The Ant-Man trailer dropped less than 24 hours
ago.
I
saw it.
I watched it too.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it before we get into
Fuck
the show.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go back to Mark here, the comic book connoisseur.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what to think. This trailer made the movie feel not Marvelish as much.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It actually seems more of a personal the whole part about lost time and trying to recapture something that he, you know, and sacrifice, and it just seems to be
I
know
this
is gonna
Scott in his life.
It's more about Scott than I think I expected it to be.
Well, it's no, they took the comedy right out of it.
Yeah. You
know? Which I'm kind of down for. We haven't really seen Ant-Man be kind of bitter Ant-Man, you know, angry
or,
Ant-Man.
Or a hero, yeah.
The scene where he says, you can never win, and it's well, just as long as we both lose.
Yeah.
And I was kind of
when does Scott Lang get these heroic lines before he's about to kick ass, right?
And the comic book person in me loves the fact that Kang was in his, comic correct
that
outfit
scene
in
was
it.
So good. Yeah.
With the face shield.
Yes.
With the
green and purple.
One of my favorite up-and-coming actors.
He's amazing.
He's around, but he's just the guy that's everywhere now, and I'm fucking there for it, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to be in everything
good
for the next little
good.
While.
Yeah. Fucking rock star. I love him.
I wonder if they gave him more time to take his contract. There was a rumor that came out that they gave Don Cheadle they gave Don Cheadle 2 hours to decide if he wanted a 6-movie contract with Marvel or not after they got rid of what's-his-face's Brody.
Interesting.
And he was at his kid's birthday party.
Brody?
And he was and he was like, "Hey, hang on, can I call you back? But I want Majors has at least got a 5-picture deal.
I'm sure."
This whole arc is going towards the Kang Dynasty,
Secret Wars,
which is him. So he's going to be in everything. He's going to be in Loki, the series again. I'm sure.
Can you imagine the ability? He gets to be in everything because he is time.
And so, do you think, based on this trailer, how much tie-in with season 1 of Loki will it have?
I don't think it's going to have a ton at all. I think it's going to introduce us to a different Kang.
Agreed.
Completely. Where some people are expecting it, but I think we're going to get a different Kang completely.
Agreed. Yep.
And I think the quantum realm is going to give us... They're going to explore the alternate way to mess with time other than what we've seen. We've seen numerous ways to fuck with time, right? We've seen in Avengers they go back using Pym particles, but that is time travel through the quantum realm. In the TVA with Loki, they use a whole different set of technology.
Yeah, they close and open
loops.
And
then Cable used a completely different set of technology in Deadpool.
Right.
So I think we're going to be dealing with all of these different aspects of fucking with time.
Right.
Do you think And because I've just like I put Shauna through WandaVision, she loved it. I was like, oh really? Thank God we can do this, because I want to do a rewatch of all of them before we get into Phase 5, so I'm fresh.
Good for you. Can't do that.
And we didn't get through Captain America. She calls it Falconer Winter Solstice.
Good. That's
want to watch Falconer tonight? I'm like, yes, we can watch.
Even though I do
Falcon.
Like that one.
I liked it. She didn't, and I understand.
I think there's
why.
Some good action.
That was an action one.
I know, and I liked it. Yeah.
That's the action version.
But in Loki, when wrong side of the aisle. Yeah. When Kang looks to the right and goes, oh, and then looks back and has that moment, something happened in another reality.
That's so good.
And we don't know what he's
that
looking
one
at.
One take, it's just.
When and in what movie will the Kang on the other side of that look back and go, oh. Like, that moment is going to happen.
Well, the sense I'm getting is that Kang is a little bit like Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, well, when did that happen? And it's not like it's always happening. He's living in all times at once.
He's omnipresent.
Right? And I think that's where Kang is. There's so many Kangs, but they're all connected. We're going to get that. And it's pretty cool.
It's that moment, though. Like, what is that moment that took place?
Right.
To and make what is the reaction to that moment? And when movie will that happen?
And are we going to get Kang Prime?
Which is like Super Kang, right? Like, isn't there Kang World?
Kang, so the real, like the most powerful of the Kangs.
I know you're making a fucking
is actually the son of Reed Richards.
Yes, I've read this theory.
Yeah,
yes,
I've heard.
Okay,
this
is
yes.
true.
Nathaniel Richards is actually because of the time is actually is Kang Prime,
right?
Who, it, like, it's a fucked up way that the time goes, but.
How excited for Secret Wars are you?
Also, sorry, that what's the robot?
MODOK.
He's in it, right?
He's
in the trailer. I saw that. I was like, did I just think that? I watched it kind of like really early and I was like half awake or whatever. I was like, did I see that right? And I didn't go back.
Yeah, no, he's in it. And like already 24 hours in fan backlash. Redo it.
I have one.
Sonic the Hedgehog, that shit.
One complaint or my worry for the movie is like, I hope it's not just because there's I don't know if it was in this trailer or the past trailers. There's scenes where they go into like a bar and it's like, look how zany the world is, you know? And I'm worried it's going to be like kind of what they did with Thor and Love and Thunder, where they go to like the God's world and say, look how zany it is.
Yeah. You don't want Quantumania to be the fucking Zeus's palace.
Well, especially because they do this one shot of Bill Murray, you know, and they're like, Bill Murray's in this and he's going to be wacky, you know? And I'm like, oh, fuck off. So I hope it doesn't become this like, at least I hope there's not like this prolonged scene where they like, we're going to, you know, show you the wackier sides of this like wacky universe that exists in the, you know, tiny, tiny, tiny world of Ant-Man.
Yeah, no, the thing is that we're in this phase of these setup movies, right? Like
right.
To your point about you're like, it's less Marvel and everything we've known so far for four phases has been like so Marvel. And now they're stepping back to re-up to Marvel again. And I think because we've had so much Marvel looking at what we have now, we don't realize that the Black Panther is just as shiny as Iron Man, because when Iron Man came out at first, it was building to Avengers. So now we're rebuilding to Secret Wars. So we're getting more of these setup movies and these backstory movies. So I, too, think like you, Ian, where I'm like, can we not be so mechanical with it and have fun with it and fuck around with it and really get back in the lane. Right.
Right.
And drive this ship and ramp up again.
I think what they're doing, and at least it was Thor, Love, and Thunder kind of did it too, is they give you a standalone story.
Right.
Right. But then they interweave
all this other bullshit.
Something they're building on as the longer
breadcrumbs.
I do agree.
But I think we're going to get that standalone story of the family and trying to recapture time and Scott Lang's struggle there and sacrifice. While weaving in these characters and themes that are going to continue
this
in the bigger story.
It's been, I won't lie, it's been a disappointing run of Marvel stuff lately. You know, and I don't think, I hope this changes. I know, like, I'm hyping myself up, and then I'm going to go in, and I'll probably be disappointed, because that's what it's been. It feels like it's been, like, Multiverse of Madness, like Love and Thunder, like the past few.
Spider-Man was a fail for you?
How dare you? Of course not. That was over a year ago.
Wakanda Forever?
Wakanda Forever, I think, at coming out of it, was the best of the, whatever, this last phase. Or, but I also don't think it holds up, like, as well. Like, it did a lot of things different, which I liked, but it also, like, you know, it's not a movie I'll probably ever go back to. You know, it doesn't excite me to rewatch.
I think people don't get that, like, Marvel is just like Penguin Publishing. Like, not everything Marvel, right? Like, not everything Marvel has to be
Penguin
tied
loves
together.
You for that
That's
comparison,
funny. That's
right?
Funny.
Like, everybody goes expecting, well, this is the Marvel universe, but it's not. Like, they gave Raimi a Marvel property and go make a horror film.
And
based
I love
with Marvel.
That. I love.
And
that.
They said, hey, make a She-Hulk, make a fun, you know, humor. It's something for everyone, but very few people are going to like everything.
But it also feels like there's been a decline. Like, maybe it's a burnout, but it feels like a decline more than burnout.
Yes. I think they're definitely in a low point right now. And
that's what I'm saying. I think we're in Iron Man, Cap, Soldier,
don't you think
and the Thor phase. That's where I think we are. We're re-ramping up.
But that low point feels like it was like a year ago when we had Eternals.
COVID is your problem.
Yeah.
Your whole equilibrium is pushed off.
Right.
With delay, straight to streaming. Right. Everything got fucked up. I really think if we can get back into a momentum of proper fucking Marvel.
Right.
Then everything's going to kind of collapse.
I honestly, I'll tell you, of all this shit that's happening, I'm looking forward to Loki season 2. Into Deadpool 3.
Ah!
That's my life is working because I think that's going to give us like a bunch of introductions to different things. And I think it's going to build towards that. Speaking of, we're going to talk about like viral excitement in movies. That's doing it right now.
Oh, yes.
In a lot of ways. And we're going to get it for like a year plus.
Right. I can't think of a better time to move into the bulk of the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's your trailer review. We haven't done one of those in a while. First on the docket, stand up, stretch, move your legs around. Let's get into it here. And as Mark said, it's the most memorable marketing movie campaign that was almost in the alliteration. What are they? Where every letter starts with the same.
Yeah, alliteration. Word. I know. I went to, you know.
I have horrible grammar, so the fact that I know that word alone, I probably wouldn't be able to spell it. Marketing campaigns, big dollars go into marketing movies to us. Like, we're just like, oh, it's a commercial for a movie. But, like, you do that around the world 100 times on 50 networks, chunk of change wraps up. So they gotta get us. They gotta figure out how to talk to us fans and market to what we like and maybe incorporate things. And I remember, like, when we were kids, it was the trailer voice that brought you into the theater on a night just like this, right? Like, that's all it really took because that excited you. But then eventually, I don't know when it started, but, like, you know, advertising for movies became bigger. It was always in tribute, right? Like, you'd go and you'd have the magazine, and then you'd read in there, and everything would be coming. There wasn't such an online presence. But now that everything shifted online, you got to be smart. You got to be quick.
The ability to rewatch and share.
Right? And Hook, like, I don't, like, whenever I always save time for a new movie trailer. Like, the trailers to me are a big deal when we go to the movies. If we're late for those, the whole thing's fucking off. Right?
I can handle it these days. I know what you mean.
No, fuck you. We're never going to a movie again. You say such wrongful things. I'm kidding. Anyways, so out of all the marketing campaigns that I threw up on. Let me move it over here.
Yeah. Threw up all over the
script, but all over the screen here. There's a ton that have, like, really rocked the boat, flipped the script, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Ian, like, was there one that you saw on the list that made you remember it? Was there one that you remembered instinctively?
The one I remember instinctively, well, I'd say, like, from the list, the Blair Witch Project.
Okay, let's bring right to it here.
Because it was one of those, probably I'm dating myself here, but like I think grade 3, grade 4. And it was like we all thought it was real.
I think I fell for it.
Yeah. And
I did.
Well, then they made The Curse of the Blair Witch, which was like a documentary about the making of, and like which I saw in video stores.
With found footage.
With found footage. And I was like, oh my God, this shit's real. And like things like that. The one when you sent us the link for this, I thought immediately was Lost. Which is a show, not a movie, but...
Yeah, sure. No, either or is fine.
They did so much extra content with the Dharma Initiative and these YouTube videos that made zero fucking sense, but you would watch them and try to decode it, and there was a whole puzzle game outside the show that you would try to do. And less of viral, but Donnie Darko had a similar thing where you could, like, the time travel book in Donnie Darko, you could read online to explain the movie.
Oh, the old lady's book.
Yeah. So, like, there's certain things like that, which I don't know if that's viral per se, but, like, that was one of those, like, little things where you have to do the homework in order to find, unlock more of the movie.
Viral is we were all affected because it reached such masses, but, like, effective, I guess would be the word, right?
Effective,
like, ones that, like, hooked you.
Yeah. Cloverfield 2 was another one that rang a bell again.
What did they do for that one?
It was videos similar to Blair Witch, where they would show videos. But didn't give you any... Actually, that this was like a film. It was just like, this is a clip of like,
and you had no idea what it was really about. Yeah, like it was just somebody terrifyingly making a cell phone video or something.
There was no name.
Yeah,
they would just like be like out on the stage.
Oh, that's so evil. Because that's like the War of the Worlds with
Conkers.
The radio play.
Orwell's
Orwell's reading it, and people tuned in and went, "Oh my god, this is actually happening," and like freaked the fuck out and called 911. Like, if you can get that much creativity into what you're trying to sell, that's chess versus checkers.
And how do you do something different now? Like,
what do you do?
Everybody's doing the same thing. You know what you do? And what came to mind as soon as I started looking at this was smile.
Very true. Yeah.
So smart.
Like they went way outside the box and almost went back to like real life as opposed to technology. In that they started planting these people like at hockey games and sporting events and shit.
And then Megan, which I watched, or Emmy.
You mean Chucky?
I forgot to mention this, but I did watch that last week.
I love Don Mancini. You know him too. We all know fucking great library of dancing dolls.
Megan is Chucky, but it's super. I don't know. Did either of you watch it?
No. But it's fucking cleaning up.
It's doing so well.
30 million opening weekend.
But it had a huge viral campaign with a scene in the trailer with the girl dancing.
Yeah.
It just blew up all over the internet.
There was a girl in Jimmy Kimmel the other night who.
I saw that.
She stood up in the middle of
Jimmy Fallon.
Thank you. Stood up in the middle of the show and just started doing the thing while they were interviewing Brian Williams' daughter,
Allison
Williams, on the show, like stuff like that.
Yeah. So like, but you know, that has blown up, and again, horror does very well box office wise for the most part. And when you attach a viral campaign to it, it just blows up even more. And Smile, Smile's a great like.
I saw some of those images. Can you imagine being at the Jets game?
It's creepy.
Standing up, look, imagine someone in your box.
Like, you didn't even know anything about, like, what the fuck is going on? And, you know,
that's cool. What happened? I didn't actually know this.
Oh, like, I was watching a baseball game.
Yeah.
And there's, like, somebody in the front row behind the batter, and they're just sitting there with that fucking shit-eating grin. I'm like, what is this woman doing?
That's funny.
Right? Was there's no identifiers. You saw it, and people left, like, what happened? And then they appear, like, at another event, there's somebody... And then it started to ramp up, and they were just like throwing
these people doing it for fun, or were they actually?
No, that was part of the viral campaign.
Love it.
Behind home plate at a baseball game.
Amazing.
Just to sit there and grin for an hour and a half and then fucking leave. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's a great viral, like guerrilla ad campaign.
On the street, boots on the ground.
Exactly.
Definitely. Mine's kind of...
Can you imagine, like, the job advertisement for that? Like, want it?
Yeah. Craigslist.
Can you
attend events and smile? Can you smile for 2 hours?
Have you felt happiness?
Mine kind of plays into that. There's two that I had on the list. I'll go with my honorable mention first. When Westworld, may it rest in peace.
Oh, yeah.
They ripped it off of Crave. Or they are.
The plan is to rip it off
because then they get a better tax break if it's not in circulation.
It's so sad.
It's like,
oh, geez.
They just.
I know. It's funny because
Zaslav was like, get rid of this.
I thought of
thing.
You when the show got canceled because I was like, you're one of the few people I know that watched.
My dick crawled in my body.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Fucking horrible day.
It's very sad.
Anyways, but Westworld had an AI and Delos was the destination you could go to, right? Like a resort. You could go online, you could book a trip. You could talk to your AI. You could ask it questions.
Oh, cool.
Coding from the show would then be referenced on the site, and you'd have, like, basically it starts with the website works and it's functioning. And inside of the first season are, like, do's and don'ts of Delos, right, where you could read as if you were a patron and having a Westworld experience and what you can and can't do, and then they would show you the breakdown of where the robots go to get, you know, fixed and all these things, like how a functioning wild ultra uber crazy resort would be. And then when the first season and the park went dark, each season the site would come back. The site was broken the next season because the site was broken on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
Then you had to fudge with code, and then you would get emails with certain puzzles and shit. Like, it was immersive, and things would change Monday morning, right? They wouldn't change all week, and then the episode would air, and then something would change, and then you'd go down the rabbit hole in the site.
I didn't realize they did this much.
Yeah, I was talking to my AI all the time. I was like, what's going on this weekend on Dallas, right? Like, and, like, he'd answer you in the most, like, not ChatGPT way. This episode supported by ChatGPT. The other one, though, was Ex Machina.
Oh, did they do viral for that?
They created a Tinder profile.
Wow.
And every time you swiped and matched with it, it would engage with you.
That is hilarious.
Until you realized you were being catfished and it was a marketing campaign for the robot. So, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. That's great. I had no idea.
But it was her full form that was on the site. So you were like, ooh, hey, cool, awesome, hottie. And then they would be like, hello, how are you, and whatever. And you'd engage until they would be like, this is for promotional. And then they would tell you all the things, and then you would be informed that it actually wasn't a real person. Because at some point they'd have to, like, we're not going to meet up, right?
Right.
So those are the two. Just like the Blair Witch stuff with the found footage and the missing posters. Like, when you take it off the screen.
Right.
That's what we want, right? That's what fanboys want.
Yeah, I like when somebody invents almost like a new way of getting to the people, or like reinvents an old way.
You know, it's like anybody
can just go on social media, but if you like find something social media-esque that isn't like a normal advertising medium, you know, it's pretty cool that you do something like that.
Man. That's what gets me, right? Like when you take when you upcycle something or you modify it for a different use, I think that's really neat. And when you can like advertising, what was it? There was like a milk carton, but it wasn't a milk carton, but it was in and of itself. Like the form was the function, right? The function was the form. I can't remember what it was, but doing that with movies and dropping totally forgot about Smile. Like Smile, and I saw it, and she was just sitting like an hour, just sitting there smiling and not fucking breaking character. Like, these people should be allowed to audition for movies after this. Like,
and when I first saw it, I'm like, there's this weird fucking girl on the broadcast. And then you start seeing these things pop up other places. You're like, oh, this is something. And then it sort of got the build. And that's a pretty cool thing, too, if you can get that snowball effect of where people start picking up on it. You're not feeding it to the media. The media is discovering it, which makes it so much more real.
It's organic.
Yeah.
In that way, yeah. Final thoughts? Anything else before we... move on. I mean,
there was one where they go to a coffee shop. I don't know which movie it was they were doing, but it was on, I remember, YouTube. They go
When Harry Met Sally.
But they go to a coffee shop and like things starts flying everywhere, and like it becomes like a haunted ghost shop. But it was for a movie. I can't.
Oh, I did see that one.
I don't remember what it was for.
And the girl hits the wall, like goes,
yes, that's the one.
I
don't remember what movie that was for, but
it was like a paranormal.
I think it might have been a Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
One or something.
Oh, one of the 12.
One of the. Hey, I love those movies.
I know. No, I know you do. I have. Hey, listen, like anything that's found footage, I'm a huge fan of because it breaks it. I can record the same thing you're recording. It makes me feel on keel with you.
They just had her sitting at like a table or something, and then she lost her shit and like did something, and then shit moved, and people started freaking out, and then she freaks out and then hits the wall and then goes crawling
and
up the
screaming,
wall and people are just freaking out. That was a good one too. I forgot about that.
And the money, man, the fuck, like I was Zaslav, I follow everything that fucker says because he's ruining a legacy studio as we sit here. But he's like, it's gonna be a quiet year for marketing, and it's like, fuck you, like you're just when they first, like, it's the Hollywood shit that I don't like about Hollywood, right? I love the place, but at the same time, I'm like, don't act like Avatar's not gonna fucking do well just to scare people into your fucking $20 ticket to go see it so they get the next one. Like,
you just hate Avatar.
Well, that's the marketing that I don't like, where it's like, I hate Avatar, but like, I don't like. Where, like, you're playing with people's... You're fucking gaslighting at that point, right? That's not, like, have someone stand there and smile at me, and I'll ask you a question about your fucking product. Don't gaslight me into the theater to watch your goop come out of whales and, you know, underwater trees and
you
shit.
You really don't know what...
No, I'm speaking out of school.
One that's going on right now, and I don't know whether or not they sort of planted it or whether or not it just grew organically, but is Wednesday, right? They're doing like the Wednesday dance on TikTok.
Yes. Dance, okay. Dance with my hands.
I think that
hands,
was an
hands.
Aftermath.
Is it like they saw the show and then people started doing it?
Yeah, that's what happened. Because that's in the season finale.
It's drawing people back to the show too now, though, because you're hearing so much about it.
That show almost did not get a season two.
Oh, really?
And then it I think they finally officially greenlit it because Lady Gaga is going to be in season two or something.
Oh, well, they said it had like 280 million hours.
Yeah,
viewed
but they didn't. But they didn't greenlight it right away. Where they usually like go like, yeah, we're doing another season.
That's true.
So and then Netflix caught a bunch of shows and they're like, Wednesday wasn't in that list. So are they keeping it or are they getting rid of it? So, you know, they're playing. But.
Well, they also I heard in an interview, someone on set was like, "This is going to go viral." Like they called it.
Well, I don't even know if you know the details with Jenna Ortega. I think
Jenny Ortega, yeah.
With that dance, but she told Tim Burton, or she asked Tim Burton if she could like choreograph it herself, and she did.
Yes, I
oh
heard
really?
That.
Yeah, so
cool.
she did that all. Like, yeah.
Can you bring your mic just a little up? You're getting a little quiet.
That no. was a oh, there that, we that was there a neat, and that's a show that I think it picked up. Like it had
did
aired
you watch
quite
it?
A bit. I haven't watched it yet, but it's high on my list of like I want to go and watch it.
Oh man, I watched the first episode and was like, I could not.
Really?
It's very teen. It's very Riverdale.
It's
okay.
Very YA,
yeah.
For sure.
YA. That's
it's not It's not bad. Like, Shauna watched it. I was sitting down and kind of picking up. It's Tim Burton, right? Like, he's directed a few of the episodes.
He directed all the episodes.
He did all of them.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Well, then I only saw what I saw. But it's mystery, YA, takes place in school.
It's
you'd like
so,
it because it's taking place in like one place. And
yeah, it's I don't know. It's not my jam. But.
Last teen show I watched was Euphoria. So that
it's definitely not that.
I don't think there's a penis in the first 7 seconds
yeah,
of this
there's
show.
No fucking in this. No.
Meth use is not encouraged in the Addams Family. All right, so we're good? Move on? Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
We talked it? All right, cool. This one's fun. Because this is where, like, you always find out after the fact. 10 actors who auditioned for different roles and the ones they got is the next segment. And it's always fun to know who was up for a role.
Yeah.
And that's because that's our fucking bread and butter here. We're like, well, what if we did this? What if you did that, right? And then to find that out, and I don't know why they hold it so close to the fucking chest. Like, it's years later you found out that this was the person. It's like, why don't you incorporate that in the fucking notes of the DVD or something, right?
Right.
Like people eat that shit up. Whatever. Anyway, so we're just going to go through this list for you, ladies and gentlemen, for you listener. And
I know just in general, without even needing the list, that was the two, Cillian Murphy going in for Batman and getting Scarecrow.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That one is particularly like one I just knew in general.
It was such a good Scarecrow, though.
He's such a good Scarecrow, but I just think it's such a unique idea for him to be Batman. Like, it's just like, it would be like having Robert Pattinson, like, version, you know, like this gentle, like, face, this very, like, pretty, like, there's a movie called, I think, Peacock with Cillian Murphy, where he plays, like, a cross-dresser, and it's kind of like Psycho, where he's dresses like a female and leaves the house, and like and I think of that movie, I'm like, man, that guy's gonna be Batman now, you know. I thought that would be cool and exciting, and same with the other one that always sticks out for me was the Tom Hiddleston possibly being Thor, because I think he could have done it. I think he easily could have done it. It would have been a different Thor. I think he has the body type.
Would have gone in a different direction. Yeah,
would have gone maybe a little like, you know, a lighter Thor, I'd say, but like
But then he's so good as Loki.
He was right. That one is a beautiful call. Like,
it's the same as Sebastian Stan. Like, I don't see him as Captain America at all.
No.
No.
But he's way better as Bucky.
And that's what I'm saying, is that as soon as it's all out there, and then you find out that there was this other. Like, mine was Indiana Jones, Tom Selleck from Magnum P.I. was supposed to be Indy.
I remember that.
And this is like in Harrison Ford's like failing upwards in Hollywood. I'm going to be a carpenter.
Right.
And then I'm going to get Star Wars. And then, well, eventually I'm...
Well, they also wanted De Niro for Star Wars, right?
Did they?
Originally for Han Solo?
I'm sure. Like,
they wanted
surprised.
De Niro for Han Solo. And so they,
I don't think he auditioned or anything.
But that's who they had in mind?
I think he's right.
Hang on here. I'll find
this. That was a funny one.
Like, Hollywood, when they have their short list, is very interesting. I don't know if you guys have read who the short list right now for James Bond.
I do.
Do you know who? Yeah.
Tell Mark.
Do they actually have like an official short list?
Well, it's kind of.
They have a
mouth.
Very happy response from somebody.
Exactly.
Okay.
So right now it's Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's number top list right now.
Bullet Train.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Avengers.
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver.
Pietro.
Yeah.
Second Coming of Pietro.
So no, he, but the First Coming.
He's English, yeah. So he fits the criteria for being English. He fits the criteria that I think he's probably like 32 or something, and that he can age into the role.
Yeah.
So he fits those like kind of two baselines, and he looks good. He's been in action movies. I think personally, still my pick. You remember?
Vaguely, we've done this a few times.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, Patel. Dev Patel. That would be so
fucking
good.
Like just a different, like, let's break it up a little, you know?
There, and you know what?
Honestly, a brown Englishman is pretty fucking believable.
Fucking cool. Like, they tried right? to do it with Tenet. They tried to make, what's his face, in like, James Bond in Tenet.
Yeah.
I thought Rob Pattinson would also be, like, a really good James Bond, but it's hard to be, like, Batman James Bond. Like, it's too many things.
Yeah. Apparently, Broccoli makes you put on the tux and come out to
you were saying that.
The
yeah.
studios, and then she's like, do a little dance. Walk around, look pretty for me.
Do you think they want a young Bond?
Yeah, because they need to age into it, because it's going to be like 15 years of this.
Also,
I just can't not look at Taron Egerton and see him as Bond.
Oh, fuck that guy. No. He should not be Bond.
But he could be Wolverine.
Oh, fuck. No.
No?
I don't want
short him. Enough.
He's not my jam. Like, he is not. He's fine in the Kingsman films, but like, he's not my jam.
It really changes your perspective. I did find a list though. Original Predator was supposed to be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, weird. I didn't know that.
Oh,
one.
Oh boy.
You imagine?
Yeah, it would be fine.
Splits?
I could see it work.
I was going to say it's the two not great actors, really.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun. It would be like a fun like alternate universe situation.
Let's be honest, you could sub almost every Schwarzenegger movie
with like Sylvester
and Stallone. Yeah. You could switch them around.
Very,
Schwarzenegger
very
could have been in fucking First Blood.
Yeah. No, I agree. I forget sometimes we're like, is
get to the chopper would totally be different.
Yeah. That's
funny. Adrian!
Oh, yeah.
Adrian.
I know this one.
Matrix. I do this one, too. Will Smith was originally...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Will Smith and... Fuck, was it Tommy Lee? Like
Tommy Lee Jones is Morpheus?
Something like, is it in the article? I can't.
Probably not.
But they do. There was like a pairing. They had like multiple pairings for everyone.
Really?
I could be wrong about that one specifically. But it was like a two, like a Will Smith and X, and they were trying to think that way. So
I'm so glad that we got the like stoic Keanu Reeves and not the what's up, my man? Like you can't Will Smith. I mean, I loved him in I Am Legend, right?
He's a brooding
action hero, right? Like that kind of lane.
When he does it right, he does it right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, it's a slap heard across the world.
It is. I know people who won't want to watch Emancipation because of it.
Yeah, I get it, man.
Like, I'm like, that's Antoine Fuqua. Like, that's a Fuqua.
No, I
want to call him Fuqua so bad, but I know
dude,
it's not.
Dude fucked up.
Dude fucked up hard. Bad Boys was originally...
Wow, Dana Carvey, John Lovitz, instead of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Come on, not a chance.
Hang on here. Long before The Matrix, Will Smith broke into the movie business with Michael Bay, directed Buddy Cop, Bad Boys. Smith starred alongside Martin Lawrence as two Miami detectives causing mayhem while trying to solve a case. The original idea was for more comedic, and thus there was a much different duo in mind. Saturday Night Live stars Dana Carvey and John Lovitz were the original choices. It's hard to picture these two in the midst of a Michael Bay action movie.
I can't picture it at all.
It's just a different movie all of a sudden. It's a comedy. Like, it's pure comedy.
Yeah, it's a buddy comedy instead of an action comedy.
It's the fucking apple dumpling game.
That's funny.
No.
That's funny.
John Lovitz.
Beverly Hills Cop was originally Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, no.
Is that a banana in my tailpipe?
Nah. Him being a wacky, like, outsider. Yeah,
no.
It just doesn't work. Yeah.
No, Axel Foley.
I like the fast talking.
But that's why like these don't, you know, they didn't get these parts. There's reasons to this.
Well, okay, I was watching a clip of Tarantino on Segura's podcast, and they tell the story of here's the fast version. He had a list for Pulp Fiction, and there were certain people on that list, and he went through all of the people he wanted, and the exec was like, nope. And then I think he said Johnny Depp. He wanted Johnny Depp as Vincent Vega. And Tarantino's like, okay, I finally got the chance to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
Is Johnny Depp more financially successful on paper at the end of all of this? Is that why Johnny Depp should be in the film? And he goes, nope, but it would make me feel a lot better.
Huh. Interesting.
Talk about a fucking power play.
Interesting.
But he also, like, he took a lot of heat over casting, like, Travolta.
Oh, giant risk.
Right? Like, Travolta was coming off of, like, Saturday Night Fever and, like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah, he's a disco dancing,
fucking,
you know?
New Jerseyan bar fighting kid.
Yeah.
No, but, like, can you imagine Stallone's trajectory if he had done Beverly Hills Cop? Like, is that poster pre? That's
I just
round
don't think
Rocky.
they become less comedies, you know, like.
They do. They totally do. But then do you also, like, I mean, okay, so they go from Stallone to Eddie Murphy. That is a huge gap.
Oh, God, yeah.
I remember Netflix has, like, the shows or the movies that made us or whatever. I think they did a Beverly Hills Cop episode. But I think, like, there's a reason specifically why it was Eddie Murphy. Like, why this did not. Well, like, I think, you know, it's like he needs his own franchise. He needs his own thing. Like, certain things happen to make sure this happened.
Speaking of.
That's fucked.
Eddie Murphy and Candyman is
next. That's fucked.
Candyman.
I did not know that. That's
Alfalfa is Candyman.
That's funny. I never knew that one.
Buckwheat,
that's it. Thank you. Sorry, wrong fucking.
Alfalfa.
You threw me over with the Apple Dumpling Gang. I went to the fucking Little Rascals.
Buckwheat. That's funny.
Oh, shit. Can you imagine? He's like, you ain't got no ice cream. I'm the candy man.
Oh, I'm so glad that didn't happen. Because that wouldn't have been a horror.
And that originally is a horror. There's no way they could be like, this is an action movie.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go comedy with Eddie Murphy. No, it was a horror.
I've never actually seen the original Candyman.
Frank Sinatra.
It was a bit of a creepy.
I tried to watch it. I watched the new one and I was like, I should go back, and I never did.
I haven't seen the original or the new one.
The new one's, it's okay. It's not great.
No.
I like the tie-in on the original into like real life events, how the lore of the Candyman started.
I don't know the lore.
Well, the thing is, it started in Cabrini Green, which is a massive high-rise projects in Chicago, right? And they said in the suites, they were so cheaply made that in each apartment, your medicine cabinet mirror was like, you take it out and there's the medicine cabinet from next door, and you can like push out the medicine cabinet and go into the next person's suite. So there's actually somebody that was like murdering people by getting from apartment to apartment through these cheaply made mirrors in the bathrooms.
I didn't realize any of this.
Yeah, and then came you see Candyman in the mirror, and he appears, and he murders you, but there was actually this series of murders where somebody was in Cabrini Green.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
I did not know this.
I wasn't cool then when that movie came. I didn't think movies were cool when I was that young. So
I wasn't bored, I don't think.
Yeah.
No. So it wasn't all just supernatural. It had this, like, you know, basis in reality.
Well,
I've
heard things like that for about like how it was those project buildings are real and stuff, and that's where a lot of like even the people that watched it were like,
that's fucking nuts.
That's crazy though,
You know,
and then they kind of tell your kids, like, you don't want to scare the shit out of them, but you want to say, like, don't, like, you know, stay out of the bathroom kind of deal, right? Like,
if you're gonna go in there, make it a fast two.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra, Old Blue Eyes for Die Hard. That's next on the list here.
No.
No.
Doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. I mean, that. But I can see how they're like, it was Ocean's 11, right? So they're trying to be, hello, Diamond. They're just going with what's
playable.
It
feels like people drinking at a bar going like, you know who we should call? Frankie. You know? And then they go, fuck you. No.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, next on the list. Paul Newman.
As Woody.
I can see that.
I
can definitely see that. He is
makes
the first
sense.
Coming of every, you know, American male sweetheart in the industry, right? So, yeah, totally. Friendly, relatable.
That's funny. That's cool.
You'd see him in a ton of movies. Man, I love watching Paul Newman movies.
I'm kind of just falling into it. I'm like, I was going to watch The Color of Money this week. It's on my list.
It's so, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantino, Tom Cruise, your favorite, Mark, and Paul Newman.
Paul Newman.
And it's the sequel to
The Hustler?
The Hustler. Yeah, The Hustler.
The Hustler?
The Hustler. The Hustler's where Fast Eddie comes from.
Right, not The Sting.
No, The Sting is Robert Redford, Paul Newman.
Did you hear me say The Stinger?
I did hear you say The Stinger.
That's a Simpsons joke where Homer learns to box, and Mo gives him, it's like, here's my gloves, my old gloves, Homer, and they have barbed wire wrapped around it. He's like, we used to call those the Stingers. They don't let you do that anymore.
Okay, we're almost done this list here. OJ Simpson
I
as
knew
the
this.
Terminator. I've heard of this.
I've heard of this one.
Can you imagine?
That's a little too real.
Yeah.
But can you imagine him saying any of the, like, do you think Hasta La Vista was
I think him with
made?
Big sunglasses and, like, built up could actually have worked in some capacity.
But you know what OJ was kind of making? He started to get into the,
yeah,
you know, with the Naked Gun movies.
Sure.
And he was kind of getting in there.
Yeah.
And
You mean
the Taste of Blood?
Well, and, like, imagine not being, like, if it was as successful. Can you imagine Cameron directing him? Never mind being successful. Imagine Cameron and OJ on set together. Like, and that's Cameron
true.
When he's, because Terminator and Terminator 2 was when he was a fucking maverick. Like, that
right.
shot of the helicopter under the bridge in T2.
Yeah.
He asked his cameraman to do it. His cameraman's like, nope, not going to do it. Too dangerous. He's like, fine, I'll shoot it. Gets in the helicopter. Fucking, like,
love
two
it.
Cuts and then it's done and you're
love
like,
it.
All right, fine. No, OJ Simpson, Batman. American Beauty.
We would have had Chevy Chase replacing.
Are you kidding
Kevin
me?
Kevin Spacey.
That's pretty funny.
Can you imagine all? Okay, can you imagine?
Has Chevy Chase done anything serious?
Great question. I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't think of anything.
I can't either.
Like, Fletch is always
Fletch
funny.
Would be the closest. Like,
but like, yeah, it's kind of detective.
Cops and Robinsons. No, I'm kidding. I'm just like,
but nobody would have thought. Can Sacha Baron Cohen? You see him in
Sweeney
Todd, Borat, and Ali G.
Yeah.
You would have never thought that he's gonna. You know, be able to do serious.
Yeah, yeah, no, true. Like, yeah, I agree.
But is that high end, like Harvard, Julian, whatever theater comedy?
Maybe.
Like, I think because there is an art form that Sacha Baron Cohen brings to even the Ricky Bobbies of, my camera just fell. My Ricky Bobbies of the time.
Ricky Booby.
Right? Like, he's serious about his funny. And I wonder if Jim Carrey's as serious about his funny as
I was
going to
say. There's
less
like,
so these days.
If you find like the comedians that did the serious role, it's
mm-hmm.
pretty impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Robin Williams in
Goodwill Hunting. Goodwill Hunting.
No, and I was going to say also in
Dead Poets Society.
Good Morning Vietnam.
No, that's not that serious.
Dead Poets Society.
The one where he plays the fucking psychopath at the 1 hour photo.
One hour photo.
Right?
Or Insomnia.
Or Insomnia too.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Very, very.
So it's impactful.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. It. Well, yeah. When you see Jim Carrey in the Curious Something Something of the Mind,
Eternal Sunshine
of the Spotless
Mind,
or
The Grinch,
or
I'm kidding,
he's right at fucking home. But Chevy Chase jerking off in a shower in the opening sequence of American Beauty,
I truly
wouldn't be able to take it seriously.
I truly think I could if he was gonna. Do it like a drama. I think he could pull it off. He has the right look and demeanor. Like, I think he could do it.
Clark Griswold,
if he wanted
man.
To
that's
do it.
That's all you see.
But that, I think that's why it would be such an interesting take of, like, this is what the true American...
I'm with Ian on this. I don't see them that far apart.
Yeah.
In
like,
their presence.
Chevy Chase, for the most part, plays Clark Griswold fairly straight. When the movies get silly, he gets silly. But for the most part... He plays it straight as a committed father to the. His
he's kind of the straight man.
Yeah,
in that.
He
yeah.
is kind of
yeah.
the straight
yeah.
man
yeah.
in it. It's every. It's all
serious
the
until it's funny. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
So, like, I think it could work. Like, I actually think, and despite whatever
right, you're
we,
changing my mind.
Whatever we think of Kevin Spacey, he does kill it in this movie. I love American Beauty. It's a movie I go back to every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's just
Wes Bentley, man.
It's so good. Wes Bentley. Wes
watching
a
lot of Yellowstone right now, and I'm just like,
he's in Yellowstone, eh?
Yeah, he's,
oh,
he's one,
I
was, of the, one of the children.
I think American Horror Story and stuff. He's
yeah, like, with the double head?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
he's,
what Shauna
he's in a
says.
Bunch of stuff too.
Every time he's on scene, she's like, where's the head in the top hat popping out
so
the back
good.
Of his head?
I think that is the...
That's the list.
Oh, we got one more.
Julia Roberts as Harriet Tubman?
Yeah.
Say what?
That was an incredibly controversial story that came out. Some casting choices are so bad they make the question humanity in general. One such case is for a Reverend Oscar-nominated film, Harriet. The movie tells the incredible story of the real-life African-American hero, Harriet Tubman, who helped countless people escape slavery in America through the Underground Railroad, obviously. The film had a long road to the big screen. Screenwriter Gregory Allen Howard pointed out some of the ridiculous obstacles along the way. At one point, a studio executive insisted, maybe it was the same one who casted Pulp Fiction, that Julia Roberts would be perfect to play Tubman. Thankfully, this was ignored. And Cynthia Erivo, who's fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Same casting director as Short Circuit.
Really?
make it a
oh,
racist joke.
I get it. Caught up there.
Yeah.
Thank you. well played. Yeah, I heard about this like just in passing. Like
yeah.
it was just one of those like random Reddit
stories.
That also
feels like so far-fetched. It can't be true. Like it feels like that thing with
you don't think there's that much tone deaf?
Oh man, that would be incredible for like a based on a true story about black people. You know, like
yeah, I can't think of a worse.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, like, okay, prime example.
Tom Cruise as Kuja Kinte.
Well, I guess though, you know, like, look at.
Can I dance for you? I can fly a plane for you.
Doctor Strange, you know, look at what's her face in Doctor Strange. That was supposed to be an Asian character.
Oh, what's her face? Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Oh, Shane. No, I know who you're talking about.
The wise one.
Ancient one.
Ancient one.
The ancient one. Yes.
She's just like, I don't know. She's a weird character. I think that's a great casting.
I do think it's a great cast. I think it works. I remember when it came out, it was like very controversial.
Feige ate a ton of shit for that. Yeah, yeah. I remember.
But
that.
I don't even see, like, her character is kind of like genderless and
it feels very
androgynous.
Like,
right?
Very androgynous. Yes, yeah. Agrees. Like, so I think that one works, but also that was something that was supposed to be like an Asian cast, but they chose not to.
Well, the same thing with Robert Downey Jr. Tropic Thunder.
That's one of the funniest like bits. That
I read
is
a reason why it's funny. You know why it's funny?
But that's the joke of it.
The joke is making fun of the idiot actor.
Yeah.
The joke is not making fun of the race.
No.
No. No.
And that's
no.
why it survives.
It's the idea of like we are. That's what some actors think is acting.
Yes.
And it's fine. Like it's fine in the sense of like that's what makes it funny. You know, like that's how why that movie is so good. He got an Oscar nomination for that.
That's not the most. That's not the offensive part of fucking Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. I love.
I have an episode coming of shit that can't get made today. And
Matthew McConaughey in that movie is the best part for me, more than Tom Cruise.
Tubman, Tubster.
Like so, and doesn't he save the day in the end? He gets blown up, like Matthew McConaughey.
Well, the kid gets blown up, and I think he gets blown up.
Yeah,
too.
Like something. I don't remember. He just like takes a. He's like, "You're a good manager." He comes in and like catches a grenade.
My name's Fourleaf.
I drive a Lincoln.
Anyways, okay, let's do our Would You Rather, because you know what? We're so ahead of schedule, we can pull the yarn on this one for a minute. And the question is, would you rather fight alongside the Avengers, or the original question is the Starks, because I guess they see the most action in Game of Thrones when you kind of think about it. Like, they're the ones who are spread out the most, but
like,
everybody gets fucked up.
Like, action or action?
A little bit of both. You know nothing, Jon Snow, even where the vagina is. So let's just expand it to the Game of Thrones world. Would you rather fight alongside Game of Thrones characters, and if so, who, or the Avengers, and why?
Oh,
Ian.
Man.
Which is better? Like,
probably... I was like,
it's a simple question.
It is a simple question. I like my brain right away goes like the kid in me wants to say Avengers, but like the realistic thing is like probably the Game of Thrones, because that actually feels more realistic to what I can be
okay.
part of.
Okay.
You know, like yeah. I have no powers. Most of them have no powers. I feel like that me being even part of that is the most realistic situation, despite being a world of fantasy.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, I have no
insert
zero
powers. Yourself into the world. Imagine you are hanging out with Iron Man, Thor, and Hawkeye.
It would be this situation. Iron Man's like, this kid has nothing. He has not even
He's
money.
Dead weight.
And it's like, let's build him. Did you build a suit? No. I'll give you an extra suit, kid. And then I go, how do you, Jane,
don't,
get
don't
me out of
make yourself sound out like fucking Spider-Man over here.
But no, but then it'll be like, Jane, get me out of these crazy things. And I'm flying around in circles. So anyway.
Comic relief.
Yeah, the comic relief. The dead weight's back. I think Game of Thrones.
Considering everything that goes down in Game of Thrones, like you want to fight against that shit?
I'd be a Jon Snow friend.
Yeah?
I'd be that guy.
You'd be a Jon Snow hang around.
I'd be a Jon Snow friend and wouldn't die of any sort of weird disease.
Who is the
I see you as like the reinforcements from Esteros. That come over because they're the like mysterious,
oh,
right?
Like
the, Oberon Martell,
yeah,
and yeah,
all the Golden Army
and the golden... Sand Snakes and the,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm
yeah.
definitely that. I got that nice skin tone.
You murdered her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You raped her.
Yeah,
they're the free, like they're freer than everybody else.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. I do feel like that. I definitely feel, and I'd probably marry like what's her name, the redhead.
Oh, Ygritte.
No, or her. Sure, why not? That too.
Oh,
you mean the witch?
The fire priestess?
The Stark, the daughter.
Oh,
John?
Sansa? No.
Sansa?
Sansa, yeah.
Sansa, yeah. Sansa, Aya, John.
Yeah,
Phoenix.
You know,
Phoenix.
Phoenix.
A Jonas wife.
We are fucking nerds.
How do you relate this character? Oh, fuck. Right to fucking
X-Men.
Anyways,
Game of Thrones, final answer.
Okay. All right. Like, I love you, but I can't see you holding a broadsword.
I don't need a sword when I have a bow and arrow. Baby.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know what's... I love, like, the mysterious characters that appear, and they always have, like, some sort of weapon that you don't expect to be aware. Like the dude that shows up with like the net and the trident, you know, like in the, like,
the dude
what
that,
the fuck you,
the dude that has to hold a pole with the bells
fishing?
On it.
Yeah.
Like I always think the bells guy, like the guy ding, ding, ding as they walk up or the flag guy.
The
I'm
flag
like,
bearer.
I'm like, ah, oh, dude, I'm so sorry.
Okay. I know where you are in this army. Like I know, yeah. I know you're the reinforcements from.
What was it? Oberyn Martell had the staff. He was really good with
yes,
the staff.
Yes, he
right?
was. He was like Donatello. Of,
he kicked the mountain's ass.
He did until he didn't.
Well, until he got cocky.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That fight scene is.
That was one of my favorites.
That goes down, I think, a lot of
He's
mountains.
He's great.
Oberyn? Like,
yeah. That's a great character.
Last of Us coming out this year.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Mark, considering all things
The Mandalorian. If you wanted the cross one.
Mandalorian meets Game of Thrones.
Sure. Okay.
Well, same actor.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah.
Right? Imagine, just yeah. like we did the Phoenix.
Yeah.
I get it.
Narcos.
Yeah.
Right. You know what? The mm-hmm. reason, the only reason I'm
you
gonna,
just came off of Dragons, so.
Yeah, the only reason I'm going to pick this is.
Game of Thrones. Game
because, of Thrones. So when I got the new TV and the new sound system, the first thing I did was go and watch Infinity War.
Yeah, you did.
And.
How was it?
And before I watched the whole movie, I fast forwarded it to the battle scene.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Right?
Yeah, same thing.
And the scene where, who starts the thing? It's where all the female characters come in, right? And I can't remember
talking
which
about Endgame or Infinity War.
Infinity.
Okay.
Infinity War. Like, well, there's two. Sorry. So there's the battle scene in Wakanda with
yeah,
all the women
that's
in the
one
trench,
you're talking about. Yep.
Right? It's Proxima Midnight versus Scarlet. Black Widow.
Yes.
And,
yep.
Right. And then Scarlet Witch comes in, and you know that's a
yep.
pretty cool scene. And then yeah, then it's like amped up again in Endgame.
Yep.
Yep.
But the Endgame one where they just goes through and all that, like she's not alone or she, you know, and all these female characters are coming. I literally got goosebumps in that scene. Like it's, I like it and whatever. It's kind of cool. But when you have that kind of visceral reaction that has nothing to do with like your brain, but I literally like get goosebumps when I see that.
I like,
that's awesome.
I like that you like that scene because I know that one, that scene got shit on quite a bit.
Oh, fuck that. That's my favorite scene in the movie, probably.
I like that you like that. Like, I definitely think it was like one of, when I watched it, I'm like, felt very like, ah, here we go. We got to give the dues. But like, I'm fine with it. But I was just one of those, like, it definitely, it shows, you know, it definitely, like, you notice it. But I'm happy with it. I'm happy it's in there. I'm happy it exists. But a lot of people shit.
Like
on
when
it,
Scarlet like, Witch, when Scarlet Witch lands and she says, "You took everything from
that.
Me," and that like
that's very
probably my favorite scene.
Who are you?
There is.
I don't even know you. Or something like that he says.
And then that's where he rained fire from the
yeah,
ships, right?
He's his
rain
ass
down
kicked.
Now.
And then the guns turn up.
Yeah.
And they're like, "What are they firing at?" And
that's
fucking
such
Captain
a good
Marvel.
Scene.
Like I love that.
There, I'm going to co-sign the shit out of that when I think about it, because everything that starts in that scene from Sam for Cap on your left to that is like everybody gets reintroduced, right?
Right.
And then he's like, "Did you need more?" Right. The
and then
line.
Cap picks up Mjolnir.
Right.
Thor's like, "I knew it."
Yeah.
You know, like,
it. Like, all, but the real true crazy ass kicking doesn't really occur until all the women go after Thanos independently and all do their thing. Like there's that one. Where,
all the guys got their asses kicked.
Yeah, they
and
did.
Then Scarlet Witch and Captain Marvel are basically kicking his ass.
Well, we all know both of them
yeah.
more powerful than any other fucking X-Men. Or
yeah. So
Marvel.
The scene where she comes out of the sky
yeah.
and flies through the ship, that would be when she's binary.
Rob, if you're listening, Rob, if you remember this, oh, that's cool. So she's like, she's a they, and we're like, no. It's where she reaches binary level power. 601. Yeah, no. And then she's like, "You got something for me, Peter Parker?"
And her little, like, snarkiness. "Oh, hi, Peter Parker. You got something for me?"
Or he says, like, "Hi, I'm Peter Parker." And it's like, "Hi, Peter Parker.
Hi, Peter Parker. You got something for me?"
I loved her in that haircut. Like, when she comes back with that side flip and the short do, I was like, yes, please make this character funky and punky. And, like, everyone is so stoic and proper, right? Like, give me some fucking style in my heroine.
I remember watching Captain Marvel and loving it in the theaters and rewatching and being like, It's fine. It didn't hold up for me the second round.
I'm actually excited about the Marvels. I think it's going to be
I think the Marvels
cool.
will be great.
Because I actually really enjoyed Ms. Marvel.
It was fine. Ms. Marvel was
but
cute.
It was
yeah.
interesting.
It's cute.
So the answer would be Marvel.
Yeah. Just because it gave me yeah. fucking goosebumps.
Totally.
So, I mean, like.
Well, no. And that's the thing is that what's making you want to jump ship and get fucking inside of it? I am also Marvel, and it's for a lot of the same reasons. It's-
oh, wait, sorry. Here's the one line, and what's her name? The head of the Dormilaje.
Oh, we are.
Oh, I can't remember her name. Anyways, the same who plays Michonne and
yes, yeah,
Walking
the
Dead.
Head priest.
She says something like, "You know, we're not gonna survive," or something like this, and then she makes a line something like, "Then it'll be the greatest story,"
right.
something, and I'm like, you know, again, it's fucking yeah. goosebumps. I'm like, I want to go die alongside you.
I never understood people not liking Infinity War that yeah. much. Like, I knew a lot of people had, like, they were like, that was fine. Like,
fuck you, that was fine. That was epic.
I remember thinking, I was like, that was really fucking dark and cool. Like, that was Empire Strikes Back for me. Like, that was like, you know, the turnover of like, what the fuck did we just end on?
There are some very powerful assemble the team and fight moments. Yeah. Like Braveheart, one of my first, right?
And there's touching moments, like when fucking Loki gets killed.
Well, when Spider-Man right? fucking disappears.
Yes. And like you choose, like, I don't know.
When everyone
yes,
disappears.
It's superheroes, but there's fuck real
I
moments.
Get, I get very emotional when they're trying to take the gauntlet off Thanos on the planet and Peter Quill comes up and he goes like, "Where is she?" And you go, "Not now, dude. Why are yes. you fucking this up?"
He totally fucks it up,
like,
right?
And it drives me insane. And I get like a body like response being like, it annoys the fuck out of me every time I watch that scene.
I'm exactly the same way. I'm like, they're going to have it off. Fuck you,
yeah,
Peter.
It's
Quill.
So close.
And then she's like, "Oh my God, he's grieving. He's yep. And like, it's by proxy that he finds out, not yep. from Thanos, but from Tentacle Girl, whose
yeah,
name
yeah.
eludes me.
Mantis.
Mantis, thank you. It is Endgame, though. Like, it out of all of those, like, charge, win at all costs, assemble the team kind of moments.
On your left?
On your left breaks my fucking heart because it's such a throwaway line that when you, I'm doing it right now, when you bring Cap back.
Yeah.
Or when you, sorry, when you bring someone back, it's Sam who's responding, right? It's not.
Also, one of my, I think Winter Soldier is one of my like top three favorites of Marvel, and like that scene is so funny.
It's a terrorist movie.
It's so funny. Oh yeah, it's an espionage spy thriller.
Yeah.
Thriller. But like that scene of him running laps yeah. around Sam is
right?
so funny.
And like you know that they were sitting in a room and they were like, "What's the first thing and who says it?"
Yeah.
Right. Like those are moments where you're like, months go by and you're like, "Anybody got anything?"
But they don't even, I don't even think they show Sam first. They show Black Panther
they
first.
Show, but it's Sam in
but
the radio.
But that's the best part, is you yeah. expect, when you see the reveal, you're expecting it to be Sam and it's Black Panther. And then the crowd fucking erupts.
Right?
You know how many things happen back to back in that small amount of time that are like fucking crazy moments? There's like from Pepper Potts showing up in her fucking armor,
right?
That
I
we
know.
Never seen before,
right.
And like all this, Valkyrie shows up on her fucking
horse.
Winged horse.
Yeah.
Like you're like, holy fuck, what's going
well,
on?
Well, so how about this? Like, is that everyone? You wanted more?
Yeah, right.
Exactly,
Wong being like,
right.
You needed more. Sorry, that was racist. I shouldn't do the accent.
I did the accent.
Okay. All right. But that fight scene
that was Wong
makes fuck and Wong being the I'll get
it.
To this. Hang on, hold one more Wong. But like that fight scene over any dragon, over any castle, over any storming the moat, like all that stuff is fantasy and fun as fuck and weird creatures and shit and giants and it's all crazy. But I don't get the same charge of. Like,
I went very reality in mine.
You did? No, that's fine. That's fine. Like, I love dragons. I love
yeah.
the show.
Yeah.
I will even say I love the last season for a few reasons. But, like, I just. I know it's a hot take. But, like, I would rather fight with superheroes. There's just something.
You both are dead.
But how much would you like to be standing next to fucking Daenerys when she's in Marine and she frees the slaves and she fucking torches the slave owner? The first time she sees Dracarys and fucking torches the slave owner
yeah.
and
yeah,
frees
yeah.
all the Unsullied? Like that moment fucking gave me goosebumps too.
Or yeah. How about when they're in the like in the last season when they're in that giant trench and they're like, "Who's gonna come save us?" And she flies miraculously across the map, which I know you have a thing about the time travel. But like
they're
that,
in a fucking ice float 15 minutes later.
But like those,
she's like, "I'm just gonna DM her quick here." Fucking,
can we send the Raven on steroids, please, to get there faster? Yeah, no. So I mean, as much as it is sci-fi and it's fake and shit, I would much rather, like, my dream would be to, like, and even again, if I'm carrying the Gatorade bottle for Cap, like, I don't care. I just want to be there. Like, we said bye. We didn't say with. Like, I don't have to do any of the heavy lifting. I'm not going to lift the hammer, right?
Yeah.
But, like, to experience the moment, to fight with, to see the history, to see, like, man, you know what? That fucking badass fight. As like the female fight assembly scene in the middle of
pick
it.
Pick up a weapon. I'm just here to watch. This is gonna
but it
be
all
in,
just paints
this will
such
be
a
insane.
Fucking beautiful picture.
I'm hoping that we get one of those giant Secret Wars.
Yes. Well,
something crazy like that.
It needs a yin to its yang, I think. And that's the first one. I think the next one will be like, let's pump some juice into this one where it's not only just the Avengers of the time, but it's X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Avengers in the same.
Yeah,
room.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they can pull this off again. Like it feels like
be tough.
I feel like it'll be tough.
Okay, quick question: do you think that when Secret Wars comes to life, that
I'll be alive still? Maybe.
Yeah, right.
Maybe not.
Yeah, we could be experiencing
COVID 2.34. Like.
Well, I was just thinking about time. I wasn't thinking about a pandemic.
Oh.
I
was realistic. I'm kidding.
Do you think we're going to get fed onesie twosie characters throughout from both worlds, or will the reveal be Secret Wars?
I don't know.
I think the reveal will be Secret Wars.
Because Fantastic Four still doesn't have a date.
I know.
So if Fantastic Four gets a date, then we know we'll see them first. But I
when
wonder...
is Comic-Con coming? When is Comic-Con again? Like when will they do another big like news release?
The fall? Like
September?
Around
so that,
October?
So by then, we'll find out for sure Fantastic Four will be a real movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have San Diego Comic-Con, and then you have Disney
San Diego
Plus
the,
Day.
Yeah.
D23.
Like I don't think D23, I think they'll save it for San
just
Diego.
Within like a month, yeah. So you get a lot of new releases there. And then New York Comic-Con's in there, too.
Yeah.
The San Diego one's the one, though, right? Yeah.
Mark, is that a trip for you one day? Is that a mecca?
I'd love to go.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I've been thinking about wanting to go.
It's one of those things that,
like I would do the
like
full...
like Burning Man, Comic-Con, like certain those weird
it
things.
It is a mecca, right? Yeah. It's an assembly.
But I told Chrissy this, like, if I went, I'd either have to go alone or have to go with some other guys that were, like, just as psyched as I was to go to Comic-Con, because I'm just going to fanboy out. I don't want to have to worry about her being there. Like,
we will go.
I just want to go for, like, 4 days and go fucking ballistic
I
and take it all in.
My only fear is, like, lines. So many fucking lines. Like.
Yeah, that's where I would save and be like, okay, how do we do this with the most money and best bang for your buck and not fuck around?
Yeah, I feel like for me, I'd be like, I'd pick like 2 days I want to go and go and then just call it. Like, don't do a full pass or anything because I know like how much I would want to see. And, you know, even the ones here, I burn out pretty fast.
Yeah, well,
but I want to do it to knock it off the list.
I mean, Winnipeg Comic Con gave us media credentials.
That's
so
true. Well,
maybe.
Legit. We'll talk after, but like legit, I think you easily can.
I mean, I know that's a pipe dream right now,
no.
But like I'm just saying, hey, listen, we're from Canada.
Well, do you think any like YouTubers and shit that go there?
Yeah, believe me.
Right?
Well, I read a nightmare story last year that a lot of them got revoked at the last minute. COVID being part of it because they just were like, we can't let this many people in here while this is happening. But also like they do get choosy as it closes in. So they may be like, yeah, totally. And then depending on who shows up, like
kind of bullshit.
If IGN is there and Fandom is there, right? And they're like, well, max capacity, they're not going to give it to, you know,
real
us.
Debaters.
But yeah, whatever. We'll leave a bag in the lobby and see what happens. That's a joke. 100%. No bags will be left in no lobbies. Anyways, that's your show, ladies and gentlemen. That's one day we'll figure out how to wrap this up nicely with a bow. But I think. The signal of Diamond walking around the room saying, pet me, is a great indicator that we should probably go upstairs. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this is your first time. Just subscribe. That's it. That's all you got to do.
You'll find us.
You'll find us.
Think it would. I wonder if we get that guy to do a thing for us.
You'll find
us. He is local, right? Best sleep center.
I'm sure he would.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, no, I think he'd charge, and I don't want to pay for that.
No, he won't charge.
I'd rather pay for Rod Peeler to talk about us.
He
that
will not
crazy,
charge.
Sale,
David Keene?
Sure. Yeah, whoever. Just David Keene.
Y'all find us.
The point of what I'm saying is, listener, is if you want to hear more stuff like this, just subscribe to the show. And if you want to find out what's going on in our world, you hit Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We like to refer to it as the big three for social, or at least I do.
2.5 these days.
Yeah, 2.5 these days. We just got off of TikTok, so you're not going to see us there anymore. You're just going to see us on those three. Subscribe.
Well, they're being banned in U.S. anyways.
Exactly. It's coming, right?
It's coming.
Eventually, short-form content will be no more.
Yeah.
And what are all those people going to do?
Like, get a real fucking job.
I guess so, right?
Fucking losers.
as he's like, I'm going to go cut one.
I know. I got to go home and cut some fucking TikToks and destroy my life. I just want to be famous so badly.
So and in those places that you can subscribe to us is a thing for voicemails. So if you've heard any hot take, if you've heard anything that you disagree with, just mention the episode number and we'll play it. And then we'll play it for that person the next time they're on. And then we can have a little fun with a voicemail.
That would be fun.
Yeah. You just got to leave voicemail. You can't leave a comment. Leaving a comment is for silent wussies. Don't be a wussy. Leave a voicemail. You get 5 minutes. You can do it on your smartphone. It just automatically activates the device and lets you talk into it. And then there's, and Mark doesn't know I'm about to do this to him because it's fun. There's this thing that Mark does where he does comics, and he should probably talk about it right now because that's what I'm going to let him do.
I don't really have much to talk about.
Well, what is it?
I like comics.
And where do people find it?
I buy and sell comics collections. If anybody out there is listening and wants to sell a comic collection or is a buyer, String Bean Comics on Facebook is where we're kind of centering stuff right
sure.
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Instagram, Facebook. Based here in Winnipeg. And it's just a comic collective of some other collectors that kind of got together, and we buy and sell books to support our comic collecting habit. String Bean Comics.
See, it is something. He had words about it, right?
I was going to say, say it, I go, I didn't know you bought comics. Because I have a box.
If you have questions about comics, if you are interested in comics and you want to direct any of that shit at Mark.
Well, we'll talk after. Yeah.
You do that on those three sites I mentioned, and we'll pass it on to you. If you want to talk about movies with Ian, you can do the same thing there too as well. And Ian's TikTok is still on the link in the bio.
I'm still trying to survive.
If you want to subscribe, you want to see some diamond. So I don't think there's any. Ian, you want to talk about anything before we go?
Nope.
Okay,
cool. Got things on the go.
All right. All right, things you can't talk about yet. I got it. What's the name of the game? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I have been Michael Petro.
I'm Ian Bauer.
Mark Cowell.
And watch all the movies and use ChatGPT. See you later.
Goodbye.
Spanish ladies.